I feel like I'm probably fairly safe today to say this. If at any point you want to chip in or just confront me on anything that's wrong, feel free to shout out or just like come run and give me a kick, because I'm quite happy for that to happen. You're also welcome to come a bit closer if you want, because I'm quite far away at this point. Okay, but I wanted to sit down. Okay. So I was asked, the general sort of remit I was given as part of the series was to speak on John, and I've kind of done that, in that a bit of it comes from John. But I was listening to something that Tom Reich, some of you, most of you will probably know of, was saying about how especially in the Anglican tradition, like in morning and evening prayers, there's a bit taken from a scripture taken from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it's not meant as a be-all and end-all, we get everything from these specific bits of text. They're almost meant as a window or a little sort of port view into the wider picture that we already know. So bearing that in mind, I almost wanted to take this at a run, and I wanted to talk about life and things that grow, basically. So to aid me, if you get bored of looking at me, there should be some pretty pictures coming up alongside there. If they're not helpful, don't look at them. But they're there if you want them, or if you're easily distracted. That's right there. So I wanted to start in Genesis. Don't worry. We won't spend long there. And right at the beginning, almost, in Genesis 2, there's a section that talks about the tree of life. It talks about the tree of life, and this is after Adam and Eve they've eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there's a tree that it talks about in the midst of the garden that's called the tree of life. And it's this tree that's sort of representative and significant, in that it says later on in Genesis 3 that if they'd eaten of this tree, they would have lived forever. This is the tree from which eternal life comes. This is the tree which eternal life bounds from. I've just got a picture, if that's helpful, of a tree. just in case you didn't know what one looked like. It also says from the garden that four rivers flowed in different directions, and with them that they carry life. So right at the center, right at the beginning, you can see God's intention for eternal life to be rooted at the center of the garden, for life and life to abound from that. Now, as we know, Adam and Eve end up having to leave the garden, and they experience death, and they experience the harshness of having to grow from scratch and to work the land. Now, the reality of this, I think, is spoken out, I think, really quite profoundly and deeply by Job. And I know that in the midst of this book, there are lots of things going on. But I want to read this chapter, because I think that it says something quite profound and deep about the place in which Job finds himself. It says, "Man, who is born of woman, short-lived and full of turmoil, like a flower he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. You also open your eyes on him and bring him into judgment with yourself. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. Turn your gaze from him that he may rest until he fulfills his day like a hired man. For there is hope for a tree when it is cut down, that it will sprout again and its shoots will not fail. Though its roots grow old in the ground and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. But man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so a man lies down and does not rise. Until the heavens are no longer, he will not awake nor be aroused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath returns to you, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle I will wait until my change comes. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands. For now you number my steps. You do not observe my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you wrap up my iniquity. But the falling mountain crumbles away, and the rock moves from its place. Water wears away stones. Its torrents wash away the dust of the earth, so you destroy man's hope. You forever overpower him, and he departs. You change his appearance and send him away. His sons achieve honor, but he does not know it, or they become insignificant, but he does not perceive it. But his body pains him, and he mourns only for himself. That's a pretty dark place to find yourself. But that's where Job finds himself, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of having lost everything. But as we know, that's not the end of the story. Right at the beginning, he says, who can make the clean out of the unclean? I think we know. I think we know where that goes. But yeah, that isn't the end of the story. And God makes a way for his presence to be outworked on earth. He makes a way for his presence to be there in the temple. The temple that's built hosts his presence, and it brings life, and it's the place where life abounds. Again, I want to skip forward to Ezekiel 47. This chapter is about, don't worry, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. First part, at least, is a vision that Ezekiel has of the temple and the river flowing from the temple. It says that from the temple there's a river that flows, and a man leads Ezekiel down the river, and at first he starts ankle deep. He's able to paddle through it and walk through it, and then he walks further down the river and it's up to his knees. He walks even further down, it's up to his waist, and he walks further down still, and it's too deep to wade through. The only way you can get in it is to swim. And it describes the river as teeming with life. It says that wherever the river goes, everything will live. And the fishermen stand by its banks because it's teeming with life. So you have this image of the temple and water, living water, flowing from it across the land. And eventually it touches the sea, and it turns the seawater fresh. It turns the Dead Sea into fresh water. It makes the unclean clean by touching it. I just wanted to read one verse from that chapter. And it says, by the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. You can see the picture of that tree echoed from Genesis right there. It's the tree that carries life. It's the tree that holds fruit, that brings life. And it's the tree that has leaves for healing. And it's not just a picture of the temple, even. It's a picture and it's a signpost of things to come further down. And we know, again, we know what comes next. We know what comes, admittedly, a while later, but we know what comes next. So in John, you have that section, that passage where one of his disciples, Thomas, is asking him, sort of, how do we know where you're going? He's saying, follow me wherever I go and you'll have life. But he's saying, how do I know where to go? And Jesus responds to say, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's a massive statement saying effectively that all life is in me. I'm God on earth. Life comes through me. I was thinking of the passage of the Samaritan woman at the well. This is from John 4. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? His disciples had gone to the village to buy food and drink food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, how come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. This is the Message version. Jesus answered, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water. The woman said, sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it? He and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us. Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. The woman said, sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again. Again, you've got the same image. The same image of the water gushing forth from the garden, from the tree of life. You've got Jesus saying that he is God. That he, where the river flowed from the throne room, it now flows from Jesus. It's always flowed from Jesus. But it's the same image repeated again. And Jesus saying, look, you'll find the presence of God in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's all right there. If you drink from the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. And I picked the Message because I know Richard's not here today, but he loves this last little section. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. Now, I didn't know what an artesian fountain was until I looked it up. And apparently it taps down into the water table. I know that's not what this is, which is why I'm slightly disappointed with the image, but just bear with it. But this is an endless supply of water just gushing up, gushing out and over, bringing life and bringing endless life and life abundantly. Again, I'm going to stick with Jesus here, if that's all right. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Then he goes on to say, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. There you have it. Again, you have the imagery of a tree, of a plant. Of life, of Jesus right there as the tree of life, as the source of living water, of abundant life. And this is the same vine that we're grafted into. This is the same vine which we draw our life from, which we draw abundant life from. In Colossians it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith. It talks about being rooted in Jesus as we walk with him and abiding in him and being grafted into him as the plant, as the tree. It's a tree that bears fruit. Now, this last section I want to look at ties in with what Tom shared at the beginning. That picture of the New Jerusalem, that picture of the city coming, the new city joining with earth, the marriage of heaven and earth, the great adorned bride coming down to meet with earth and bring life in that way. Tom read out that whole of Revelation 21, the picture of sorrow and sadness gone, the picture of the Lamb and the Lord being the light that lights up the city. There's no more sun and moon because there's no need, because God and the Lamb and Jesus, they light up the city. They bring life to wherever they go. So Revelation 22, 1 to 2 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now that picture's straight from Ezekiel and by extension straight from Genesis, but it's now no longer just the leaves of healing for the individual or the fruit for the individual. It's for the healing of the nations, and it says the nations come through the gates of that city. You can see, I don't know about you, but I love the threads that run through. I love the thread from the beginning all the way through. There are references to trees that bring life and trees in general and plants throughout scripture. And you can see it right here. The promise at the end is that there'll be a tree of life there. And a great river that brings life with it. There's a river that will flow from the Lamb and from the Lord, and it will bring life wherever it goes. That's the fulfillment of everything that it is. That's the resurrection. That's bringing cleanness to unclean by touch. That's love, that's hope, it's joy, and it's just the fulfillment of a loving, amazing, majestic, good God. And it's all right there. I just want to finish up by sharing a picture. A picture that I had for a chap a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a week or so ago. And I just felt to share it here. So maybe the image of a tree at the end of the ages is too big. Maybe we need to look just in front of us. Maybe we don't trust, or we've lost hope. Maybe this picture's for you. Maybe we need to think in terms of the mustard seed. The tiny seed that grows up to be the biggest plant in the garden. So the picture I had was of hands cradling soil. It's a lie that the soil is dead and that there's nothing of value in it because there's a seed inside. Some of us have carried soil with seeds in for a long time and almost given up that this thing is going to germinate. It says in Proverbs, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life." But I'm talking about a germinating seed here. God speaks life, and living water flows from him. So let God speak and breathe life into the seed that you're carrying and watch it germinate. If you're not ready for the full flow of a deep river, let living water trickle onto your seed. Yeah. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, that however tiny it is, it'll grow into a tree. So nurture the seed you've been carrying and grow the sapling when it appears. It carries precious, valuable, life-giving fruit. Actually, the guy I initially gave that word to, I'd never met before. It turned out he was a botanist. Just a funny sense of humour. But I just want to leave you with a video, if that's all right. That all the time there's stuff going on underneath the soil. And sometimes seeds spring up quickly, but other times they take time. And the botanist I gave this picture to initially told me that sometimes seeds need to be exposed to fire before they germinate, which I'd never heard of. Whatever you're carrying, it carries life. So, yeah, I'm going to finish there. But if anyone wants prayer around anything, like, feel free to come and chat to me or chat to anyone you trust. But yeah, I'm going to leave it there. And listen.